Mark chapter 5, we'll read two verses of scripture. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse number 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the last three words in verse number 22. It's my title, my text, my topic this morning. It's the three words, at his feet. At his feet. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Lord, we love you today and we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this great crowd gathered here today, and I pray that you help me to preach with power and clarity and understanding. Would you forgive my sins? Help me to be clean. If there's anything in my heart and life that's hindering you, would you forgive me and remove it? I don't want anything hindering your blessed spirit, please. May you be our invited guests and draw people to yourself. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Word of God is full of facts, truths, and thoughts that reach out for our attention and our admonition. There are so many things in God's Word to help us in our daily lives. And let me say this to you, there's no way that we can fully exhaust the Word of God in this lifetime. It's inexhaustible. It's infallible. It's inspired and it's inerrant. And praise God for His wonderful Word this morning. One of these many thoughts within God's Word is brought out for us today. It's the thought of at His feet. Now, as we travel through the New Testament, what I want to do is I want to dwell on when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking in bodily form through the New Testament. And it's interesting that as He's alive on earth, now He's alive and doing well today, but I'm talking about in bodily form down here walking on earth. When He was walking on this earth, there were different people at different times in their life when they're found at His feet. And as we consider these different circumstances, I trust that everyone here will receive a blessing and get help from our Lord for our daily lives. Now I want to dig in and consider those we find at His feet when He was walking on the earth in bodily form. The first two people that we come across that we find at His feet, we find them, number one, here we go, we find them begging. The first one's found here in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 all the way through 43. And for time's sake, because of my message, I'm not going to read it all, but let me just paraphrase what's going on. Jairus' only daughter, according to Luke, tells us that that this daughter is his only girl. And she is at the point of death. And when he hears about Jesus Christ, verse number 22 tells us that there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And the Bible tells us that he began to beseech him, he besought him, that he might come and heal his only daughter. His daughter was dying. He knew that she was dying. So right here, this man, this ruler, if you will, he begins to beg Jesus at his feet that the Lord would come and help him. Now the great thing about this is that we know that this is the story. Whenever the Lord came and he went home with this man, and as he was in the process of going, The lady with the issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still and he began to deal with this lady. But put yourself in the mind of the daddy. The daddy's in a hurry. He wants the Lord now. You got to come with me now. And he stops in the midst of this and helps this lady right here. And while he's helping this lady, at the end of it, one of Jairus' servants comes to him and says, "Your daughter is now dead. Why trouble the master any further?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." And he went with this man and he put him out and he said, "She's not dead, she only sleeps." And they began to make fun of him, but he put them out of the room and he touched this girl and she came back to life. And all I'm saying to you here in this first person that we see begging him, We're told here that he's a ruler of the synagogue. That means he's a man of prominence, position, prestige, privilege, prosperity, and power in the community. He was a man who had it all, but at this moment in time, none of that mattered to him. See, when Jairus spoke, people listened. When he walked into a room, everybody stood up in recognition. But now he finds himself in a place where none of that matters anymore. See, sickness and death could care less about who this man is, what he possesses, or the position that he holds. Here's a man who's religious, but his religion is powerless to help him in this situation. And I guarantee you that Jairus would have traded everything he had for the power to change this situation in his little girl's life. You see, life became very defined for Jairus. He had everything, so he thought. But in reality, what he had in the world meant absolutely nothing. You see, death had come to the house of Jairus. And it had come for his real treasure, his little girl. She was dying. And the Bible tells us that this mighty man, when he had a sick girl, fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him for help. We go on. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, we see a Syrophoenician woman. And in context here, we see that her daughter was possessed of the devil. In verse number 25, look at it. The Bible says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he could cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled. For it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Beautiful, isn't it? And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. That's beautiful, isn't it? This lady had a daughter that was demon-possessed. And no doubt this devil was hurting her daughter and destroying her life. And because of this mother, so you see a father here first. Now you see a mother falling at the feet of Jesus and begging help for her little girl. And when all was said and done, the Lord had answered this hurting mother's request and cast the devil out. Now, what do we learn in this first section where we find two different people, two parents, a dad and a mom, both have sick girls. One of them's dying, one of them's demon-possessed, and yet both of them, different circumstances, but same situation. They both fall at his feet and beg him to help their little girl. And in both cases, the Lord Jesus, amen, stepped up. And he brought the dead girl back to life and he told the devil, "You can't have her anymore, get out!" And the devil got out of that girl. What do we learn in this? We can all learn from this that when we're in a need, we should fall at his feet and ask his help. We also learn from this that we as parents should be found at the feet of Jesus, begging him to work in our kids' lives. You know, the Lord's calmed me down today. Sometimes I'm a wild man. I don't feel wild today. At his feet's a place of peace. We see people begging. We go on. If you take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke chapter 7. The book of Luke chapter 7. First of all, we see people at his feet begging. The second situation we come to, we see a lady at his feet repenting. We see this in Luke chapter 7 verses 36 through 50. Let me just give you the story. Now this lady is identified for us in John chapter 12. Her name is Mary. And we see in verses 37 and 38 of Luke chapter 7, if you'll look at it, It says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood, here it is, at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And the rest of the phrase goes on, the rest of the passage goes on, because the Lord knew what Simon was thinking about. And it says, and the Lord said, Simon, I got something to say to you. That's great to me. He says, he pretty much says, listen, he said, there's two debtors, one of them owed 500 and the other owed 50. This is found in verse 41. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. And he said, tell me, which one of these two you think is going to love him more? And Simon said, well, I guess the one he forgave more. See, the Lord's putting Simon in his place right here. And what the situation is here is we see Mary. He finds out that she finds out that the Lord is in the Pharisee's house, and she comes in because, see, back in this day, in taking their meals, the Eastern people reclined on one side, and the knees being bent to make more room, the feet of each person were turned outwards behind him. So therefore, we see her standing with the Lord sitting, and his feet curled back behind him. We see her standing at his feet, and she's crying, and the cry is hitting his 30 feet, and she went down and she unlocked her hair and she began to wipe his beloved feet with her hair. Now, in all of this, what do we see? We see a lady repenting of her sin. Now, stay with me. The Bible says she was kissing his feet and wiping his feet with the hair of her head. This kiss was an emblem of love and affection. In this manner, she testified her love for the Lord, and at the same time, her humility and sense of sin by kissing his feet. There could be few expressions of penitence more deep and tender than these were. See, a sense of all of her sins rushed over her mind, and her heart burst at the remembrance of them and at the presence of the pure Redeemer. And with deep sorrow, she humbled herself and was seeking forgiveness. She showed her love for him by a kiss of affection, her humility by bathing his feet and breaking a costly box, perhaps that was brought by a guilty life, and anointing his feet. And in this way, she was embracing him as her loved and precious Redeemer, humbled at his feet and offering all she had. She moved with holy reverence for her Lord. She brought the great treasure she possessed and used it all for him, standing behind him in her bashfulness, washing his feet in her humility, weeping for penitence, kissing his feet for love, and upbraiding her tresses and using them as a towel out of supreme devotion to him whom she owed her all. Boy, I'd love to have been there. We see her repenting. Here we have Mary standing in awe of the Lord with the sense of her own sinfulness, repenting and seeking his forgiveness, showing him her love, and the Lord responded. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that whenever Mary went through all this and she was ashamed of her sin, she was brokenhearted, she probably knew that those people thought evil things about her. She didn't care what other people thought. Only thing she knew is that she was a sinner and she needed to be forgiven. And she comes into the presence of Jesus Christ, and he's sitting there, and she's standing at his feet, and she's brokenhearted, and she's weeping, and she's kissing his feet and wiping his feet with the hairs of her head. And while the whole world is condemning her, the lovely Jesus Christ says, your sins been forgiven. We see at his feet those begging. We see at his feet those repenting. In the same way, if you've never trusted Christ, what you need is not to reform. What you need is not get baptized. What you need is to come to the feet of Jesus and ask him to forgive you. And he will. And at the same time, we also learn from this, from her breaking the alabaster box of ointment, that we ought to be at his feet, loving him more than anything or anybody else in this world. Do you love him more than anybody else in this world? Do you love him more than anything else in this world? Mary was saying, I don't care how much this costs me, he's more important to me. That's convicting. Number one, we see people at his feet begging. Number two, we see people at his feet repenting. Number three, we turn to Luke chapter 8. You're right there at it. And we see a man at his feet sitting. Now, who's this? We have a more familiar story in Mark chapter 5. But in Luke chapter 8, it tells us where he's at. It's the story of the maniac of Gadara. And if you remember the story that Jesus just stepped off the boat, and this maniac is crying and cutting himself out of his right mind. He's naked. I mean, the devil has humiliated this man. He's possessed with devils. As a matter of fact, it says a legion of devils. I mean, he's possessed. He was dwelling in the tombs. He was crying and cutting himself and out of his right mind and naked. However, in verse 28 of Luke chapter 8, we see when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I beseech thee, torment me not. And he cries for mercy from the Lord. And the Lord cast the devils out and changed this man's life. And in verse number 35, if you're following along with me, look at it. And it says, Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus. Here it is. And found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Here it is, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. They were afraid. In this we see how our Lord changes those he saves and gives them peace and contentment and destroys the work of the devil in their life. Isn't that great? I mean, here's this man. He's stripped of his clothes, just like the devil tries to strip you of your integrity. And that's exactly what sin will do. Here's this man out of his right mind. He's crazy. He's lunatic. He's crying. He's cutting himself. He's destroying himself until Jesus stepped on the scene. And when Jesus stepped on the scene, he fell down before him, crying for mercy. And the Lord saved this man, changed his life. And instead of being lunatic, crying and cutting himself, we see him sitting peacefully at the feet of Jesus Christ. He's clothed now. He's in his right mind now. I mean, he's in his right mind. God's changed this man's life, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is that what we learn here is in the same way. We should rejoice over the fact that we who are saved by his amazing grace have been delivered from the power of Satan and can sit at his feet with peace and joy and happiness and contentment at the feet of Jesus Christ. Number one, we see people sitting at his, we see people at his feet begging. We see people at his feet, number two, repenting. We see people at his feet, number three, sitting and in the right mind. We see people, number four, in Luke chapter 10, at the feet of Jesus, listening. Listening at his feet. Look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat, here it is, at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In this portion of Scripture, we see two sisters while Jesus is in the house. Martha's cumbered about much serving. Mary, on the other hand, is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to his word. Now get this now. Martha thought, now understand it because you and I can identify with Martha. Get this. Martha thought Mary was wasting time. She did. What else does she mean? She thought Mary was wasting time. After all, there were things to be did. I mean, things to do, things to be done. We've got to have everything in order. Jesus Christ is in the house. However, the Lord told Martha that Mary was doing what was needful. She was sitting and listening to him. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn in the same way our lives can become so busy that we neglect our time with him. Amen or not, folks? We can become so cumbered about with the cares of this life that we lose sight of what really matters. And that is simply sitting at his feet and listening to his word. We have got to spend time communing with the Lord. You've got to do it. I've got to do it. If I ever get in this pulpit without spending time with God, that is a sin to you. I'm sinning against you. But not just that, there's something bigger than that. I'm sinning against the Lord. Because I recognize that I cannot do this if he does not help me. I'm conscious of that. Are you conscious that you cannot do anything without the power of the Lord? You can't be the husband or the wife or the child or the worker. You can't do anything without spending time with the Lord first. We see people sitting at his feet listening. Let me ask you a question. Did you sit at his feet before you got here this morning? Did you listen to him this morning before you came to church? You say no, then you're just too busy. You're like Martha. But there's one thing needful. That is sit at his feet and listen to him talk to you. Number one, we see people at his feet begging. Number two, we see Mary at his feet repenting. Number three, we see the maniac at his feet sitting, clothed in his right mind. Number four, we see Mary sitting at his feet listening. Number five, we turn to Luke chapter 17. And we come to the story of the 10 lepers. Anybody know this story? There's 10 leprous men. And we pick up our reading in verse number 11. It came to pass, Luke chapter 17, verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, here it is, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Searching question, isn't it? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The fifth thing we see is we see a leprous man at his feet thanking him. Leprosy is a spiritual picture of sin. As a matter of fact, there's no more dreadful disease than leprosy. Usually accompanied with great pain and violent itching, and the body eventually collapses. In worst case scenarios, are you listening to this? In worst case scenarios, body parts begin to start falling off, like hands and feet. And eventually it kills you. Exactly what sin does. Causes you eventual pain. Makes your body of no use. And eventually kills you. Now get this, under law, they were under a death warrant. By law, Old Testament, by law, they were under a death warrant. The Lord didn't have to spend time with them. He didn't have to answer them. According to the law, he could have walked on, they could have died like that, and everything's fine. But there's something different about the Lord. Aren't you glad there's something different about him? Jesus had compassion on them. And he healed them. Get this. This is so, so convicting. When they knew they were healed, only one came back at his feet and said, thank you. You know that's still happening today? You ever taken for granted that you've been saved? You ever taken for granted that God saved your soul? And we catch ourselves complaining about all things all the time. Now, I know nobody in here complains about anything. I know your life is perfect. And I know good night. Hey, are you listening? If you break a fingernail, it sends some of you off in a frenzy. We complain about so many things, don't we? This man, he remembered the disease he had. Instead of just going about his own business as soon as his skin cleared up. Can you imagine what he must have felt when this terrible disease has eaten his body and the Lord says, go show yourself. Go, go, go. And as he goes, he looks down and that hand maybe that was just all crumpled up and maybe all kinds of sores all over it. He looks down and it's gone. It's not there. Nine of them just go on about their business. But this man said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got to go thank him. And the Bible says he went and he fell at his feet saying thank you. How long has it been since you've been at the feet of Jesus just to say thank you? Not going for what you can get. Not going to into his presence asking, can you give me this? Can you give me that? When's the last time you just went into his presence and fell at his feet and your heart was just so over, it was just overflowing with gratitude that you didn't ask for anything. You just said, thank you. At his feet. The Bible tells us, don't turn to it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says this. It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, as the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The Bible tells us back in the book of Psalms, again, don't turn to it, just wait right there on me. In Psalm 100 verse 4, the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 95 verse 2 says this, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There's a little chorus that goes like this. If you know it, you can sing it with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. You know, spiritually speaking, he didn't have to hear us. We're the ones that sinned. We deserve death. Romans 6:23. But God, who's rich in mercy, sent his son to die for you and me. And how many times are we guilty of going through a day without saying thank you? By the way, you thank him not only with your lips, but you thank him with your life too. Let me tell you why you ought to live a godly life. Because every step you ought to be, every step you walk ought to be saying, thank you, praise God. Thank you, praise God. Thank you, Lord, praise God. Because without him, we're going to die and go to hell. That's a fact. Do you understand that? We ought to fall at his feet and thank him. Amen. And there's a sixth thing, and this is the last one. We turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Anybody know what's going on in John chapter 11? It's exactly right. Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, have sent for the Lord. This is all found in John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. But there's a beautiful thing It's interesting that when they sent for him, the Bible says he waited 2 days where he was. And then when he finally came and he was on his way, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now, several years ago, I preached a message on when all hope is gone, because it's significant that you understand why the Lord waited until he'd been dead 4 days. Because back in this day, it was being taught that when a person died, their spirit would hover around the grave for 3 days trying to get back in. Now keep in mind, you and I know that's not true, and the Lord knows that's not true also. But he knew that that was being taught. You understand? So he waited until the fourth day. Why? Because when the fourth day came, every human being realized it is hopeless, corruption has set in, it is over. That's when the Lord showed up. And when he showed up, Martha went out to meet him. And this is all in verses 1 to 44. And he looks at her and Martha looks at him and says, "If you'd only been here, my brother's not dying." You ever been there? The Lord looks at her and says, "Your brother's going to live again." She thought he was talking about resurrection day. And she said, "I know my brother's going to live again at the last day." The Lord said, you don't understand something. He said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." And he says, "Okay, call your sister Mary." And he waits right there. So Martha goes and she calls Mary and she says, "The master has come and he calleth for you." I want to pick up our reading in verse number 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him," here it is, "she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And notice closely verse 33. "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." So the last time we see this used when the Lord is walking on earth is we see Mary at his feet weeping. She's weeping. We see in this passage how Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus is only sick in the first few verses. They send for the Lord and he waits 2 days where he was, and by the time he responds, Lazarus is dead 4 days. When Mary hears that he called for her, she ran to him brokenhearted, crying and weeping at his feet. And I ask you a question. Did he care? I show you the shortest verse in all of God's word. In verse 35, Jesus wept. Some people try to say that he's weeping because he's getting ready to bring Lazarus back. Hogwash. Some people try to say he's weeping because of their unbelief. I don't believe that's the case either. I personally believe he's weeping with her to show her that he really does care. You brokenhearted today? No doubt in a crowd this size, there are some broken hearts. No doubt in a crowd this size, there are those who haven't chosen something that's happened to you, and your heart is broken. And even though it may not be coming out your eyes, it's coming out your heart. You're weeping. And the devil tries to whisper in your ear, "Nobody cares." And I tell you, that is a lie. Because Jesus Christ cares. There's a song. I'm not going to sing this. I may sing the chorus for you, but the verses goes, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me?" Some of you are there, aren't you? If
A lot of people who've lost a lot of loved ones. And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? And the chorus goes, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares for you. He really, really cares. When you're brokenhearted, fall at his feet. Pour out your heart to him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. We see several times when others, now again, it's when the Lord is in bodily form walking on the earth. We see people found at his feet. We see those begging him at his feet, repenting at his feet, sitting at his feet, listening at his feet, thanking at his feet, and weeping at his feet. In all of this, we can learn that no matter what life throws at you, no matter what it throws at you, we should be found at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I ask you this question in closing. Where are you today? You just walking through life, hurting. Things are going great. Maybe in between. Are you up through life, just walking through life because, after all, you don't need him? Why spend time with him? You don't need him. Until you need him. Or are you at his feet? Where are you at? Where are you at today? May the Lord take this whole congregation, starting with me all the way back, and put us at his feet. Because there's where the answer is. Amen. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, take it. Use it in a mighty way. Please, help me to guide this invitation in a way that honors you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get situated, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you the first question. It was the second major point, but I ask it to you first. We see Mary at the feet of Jesus repenting of sin, seeking forgiveness. You know, there's another time in Scripture, it doesn't use the words at his feet, but that's where they were at. When he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, there were those soldiers who were gambling at his feet. Remember the story? They were casting lots. They were gambling at the feet of Jesus while he was dying for their sins. There's a lot of people today who are gambling at the feet of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, has there been a time in your life when you've confessed your sin to Jesus? You've asked him to come into your heart and forgive you and be your Lord and Savior? If you can say, Jody, I'm glad there's been a time that I was at the feet of Jesus and I confessed my sin and I asked him to come into my heart, I'm a Christian. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I am a child of God. I know I am. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Only if you know that, please. Only if you know it. God bless you. Thank you. If you couldn't raise your hand to that, thank you for being honest. If you couldn't raise your hand to that and you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life when I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. Or maybe you know you've never trusted Christ, whatever the case may be. And you say, Jody, would you pray for me? Now listen, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. You have my word on that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just need to know if there's anybody like that so we can proceed in a way that pleases the Lord. Somebody here today, you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Or maybe you know you're lost. Would you be honest right now? Would you raise your hand in the air? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. Would you be an honest person? Would you put it up? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, put it up, put it right back down. Have you today say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And just like Jairus and just like the Syrophoenician woman, there's a special need in my life. Now for them, it was their baby girl, you understand? One of them demon-possessed and one of them dying. But you say, Jody, there's a special need I have. A special need in my life. Just like those who fell at his feet to beg him, that's what I believe I need to do. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? You have a special need? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Good. Good. Have you all have a child that you're praying for? I'm talking about there's situations there, there's problems there, and you say, Jody, I need the Lord to help my child like he helped these two parents' child. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Do you understand where you need to go? Do you understand where you need to go? Do you understand where you need to go? God help you with this. God help you with this. Amen. I'm going to ask every one of you to come in a moment. Get to the feet of Jesus. Have you say, Jody, just like Mary was taking time to sit at his feet and listen, I've just been too busy. God knows my heart. I need to be listening more to God. That means reading his word, spending more time with him. You say, Jody, pray for me. That's what I need. I need to be at his feet listening. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Yes, that's several of you. Several of you. God bless you. Thank you. Maybe you need to be found at his feet thanking him. Just saying thank you. Have you be honest and say, Jody, when I pray, I've been selfish. Now, God wants you to ask for things. I'm not trying to get you not to do that. But a lot of times that's all praying is just asking God, asking, 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 asking. And God has really dealt with your heart about just spending more time thanking him. Maybe not just with your lips, but also with your life. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to fall at his feet and thank him more. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Have you a broken hearted? Oh, your heart's broken. It may be a family situation. It may be a financial situation. It may be a physical situation. It may be something that nobody in this world knows about, but you know, you can identify with Mary, who just simply fell at his feet weeping, brokenhearted. You say, Jody, I'm broken today. My heart is broken. God knows what it is. But I'm broken like Mary, and I need to fall at his feet and just cry. Broken. Have you be honest with God? Would you raise your hand to that? You say, I'm broken. I've got a broken heart. Yes. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. As soon as he begins the first word, if God has spoken, if you raised your hand for anything, maybe you didn't raise your hand. If you're lost, you need Jesus, come. And come with all these others and start at the feet of Jesus here as he sings. Would you come, please? Would you come, please?
Have thine own way,
leave your place.
Lord,
come to his feet.
Way,
weeping.
Thou art the potter,
come to his feet. Listening.
I am the clay.
Come to his feet.
Hold me and
begging him.
Make me
brokenhearted.
After thy will.
God help you. Sing in the second.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
We'll be
wounded and weary. Help me, I pray.
I want you just to sing right here.
Our all power surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Savior divine.
He's singing the third verse there. Singing a third.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me. me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
What page number is that, Brother Gary?
306.
If you're still standing, you can look this way and turn to page 306. Let's sing this